This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So, America, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9, verse 26, where we left off last time. John chapter 9, verse 26. But first, we have two announcements. First of all, I want to give a shout out to heaven for a man of God who recently moved to heaven. The owner of my radio station, Mr. Ray Cassis, has gone back home to God, and we know he has heard a well done. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we ask, Father God, that you will receive your son, Ray Cassis, with great honor in heaven. For he was a pioneer in radio and television Christian network, and we thank you for a life well lived. We ask the Comforter will comfort his wife, Mrs. Kimberly Cassis, and all of their children, and comfort especially Dr. Paul Esposito, the manager of this station. Father, we thank you for his life. And we know, Father, that he lives and that we shall see him again. We praise you for Ray Cassis, and we'll remember him, and we'll see him again according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. My second announcement is I want to invite all of you to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on December 21st at 6:30 p.m. for a family Christmas program. We'll all be in costumes, and we're going to have angels and skits, and our own Scott Mercy is going to give us a 30-minute movie of Wings and Things, and I'll be leading some Christmas carols, and we're going to have cookies. But that's not all. Come on Christmas Day, which is a Sunday. Have your dinner early. Come at 5 p.m. here at my school on Christmas Day. We're going to have communion. I'll be doing a line-by-line teaching from the Bible, but that's not all. We're going to have healing hour. We're going to open up the holy bench. I want you to bring all the sick loved ones in Brevard County. And Scott's going to stand on one side of the holy bench and I on another, and the Lord is still healing, so we invite you there. And now, the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 26. Excuse me. Now, last time, Jesus had just healed a man's eyes who had been born blind. And the reason he was born blind, there was no sin. It was his destiny so that God could be glorified when Jesus healed him. The phony church leaders, the scribes and Pharisees sitting in the seat of Moses, were just giving the once upon a time blind man the third degree because he said Jesus healed him, and they hated Jesus because Jesus was upstaging them and they wanted to kill Jesus. And so they would keep telling him, "You weren't born blind, you're a liar." They were giving the once upon a time blind man a bad time. And so we left off last week, verse 25. Finally, the once upon a time blind man said, "All I know is that a man named Jesus made clay and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I could see. Once I was blind, but now I see." So we begin verse 26.
26. Then they said to him again, "What did he do unto thee? How opened he thine eyes?" 27. He answered and said, "I have told you already."
Enough already.
"And ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Would he also be his disciples?"
Wow, isn't that beautiful? He just had his miracle, so he's now going to say, "Would you like to be saved too?" See, that's what you're supposed to do. You weren't saved so you could sit and stare at me. You were supposed to go out there and bring them in and then stare at me, okay?
28, and they reviled him.
They scorned him.
And said, "Thou art his disciple. But we are Moses' disciples."
Well, they're lying. They're the phony church leaders. If they were Moses' disciples, they would have known that in the law, Deuteronomy, excuse me, that It was said in Deuteronomy 18:15 that God told Moses, I will send another prophet like unto you who will be the Messiah and would do these great things. See, the phony church leaders didn't even know the Bible.
Brother Nye, we know that God spake unto Moses, but for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Verse 30, the man answered and said unto him.
Now listen to this man. He's been blind all his life. He's been a beggar. Jesus has just touched him. We're going to let him talk for a few verses. He does what you're supposed to do. You weren't saved to sit and stare. You were sent to go and care about the souls in this world and then bring them into the Word. And so watch him, watch him. He's going to preach and teach these church leaders.
Why, here ye is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, then he heareth. 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one who was born blind? 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. 34, and they answered and said unto him.
Okay, he just said, there's no way that this man could be a sinner and have done what he did. Now, listen to their reply.
Thou wast altogether born in sin.
See, they were saying, you're a sinner, that's why you're born blind. Remember, Job's friend said, the reason you're suffering, the reason you've lost everything, reason your body is sick is because you sinned. Job was totally innocent. God uses these things that we go through as a witness to other people. When you see someone who's doing more than anybody in the world for God and doing it under a great handicap, that ought to put you to shame. What are you doing with your room?
And dost thou teach us?
Who do you think you are? You're teaching us, they say.
They cast him out.
They excommunicated him from the temple, from the church. Best thing ever happened to him. Martin Luther found in the Bible that it said, the just shall live by faith. See, he was taught that he had to be saved by good works. And he was excommunicated from the Catholic Church and started the great Protestant Reformation. A few years ago on this radio, I was teaching the book of Daniel. When I closed the last chapter there, after giving those wonderful numbers, the Lord told me, reform the church. Well, you know, I and myself cannot do this, but how do we do this? We get the truth of God out. The truth reforms the church.
35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out.
Now, Jesus loves outcasts, you see. In other words, he says to go into the highways and the byways and find the outcast and bring them in. I hope you take that literally. I do. Some years ago, I took my bicycle, I bought some fried chicken from Publix, and I bought some little Bibles and napkins, and I rode into the drug areas of Cocoa down the side streets on my bicycle in my shorts, and I stopped to every little druggie on the way, offered them chicken, Bible, prayed with them, someone got saved. Everybody said, Sherry, that's dangerous. Well, they told me to go in the highways and byways. Why don't you obey? And then there was the taxi drivers, and they took me into the highways and byways, and I witnessed to them. You see, you want to go where the church won't go. Find those that nobody cares about. That's what Jesus does. This man was a beggar, and he was begging, and he's been excommunicated from the high church where they have the nice clothes and the pretty music and all of that. And he goes and he finds him. This shepherd goes and finds the sheep.
And when he found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe, O the Son of God? 36, and he answered and said, Who is he, Lord?
Now you love Jesus. He gets right down to the point. Some of you try to witness to God, and you think that you've got to wait 500 days and win their souls, win their love, and tell them all the good things God's done for you. Did you ever think about just loving somebody and say, are you saved? That's what I do. Do you know that I do that? And more people accept Jesus. You've already, you don't have to win them over. They are either lost or they are saved. Why not just hit it? Would you like to be saved? Did you know there's an eternity? Of course you're nice to them and love them. But some of you are so timid, you wait years before you ever hit them with it. They might die before then. Go ahead. Get them saved.
But I might believe on him.
I want to be saved, says the blind man, once upon a time, blind man.
Seven, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee.
I am sure Jesus had a smile on his face. Thou hast both seen him. Do you know that blind man had never seen his parents? He did not know what he looked like. And the first face he ever saw was the Lord Jesus. The first face you saw, I am. I am the Messiah. I am that I am. Holy Lord God, that just thrilled me.
He said, Lord, I believe.
Whosoever believeth on the Lord shall be saved. The once upon a time blind man is now saved.
He worshipped him. 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see.
In other words, Jesus says the church people have just judged you an innocent man. The man told the church leaders the truth. Jesus did heal him, and he was born blind. But see, they judged him and said, you're a liar, and they tore him out. Let's just leave the judging to God, okay? Now, discernment of spirits, yes, you can be a tree inspector. You can see if there's any fruit. But you can't be the judge. When Jesus said not to judge, he means it's not up to us to say whether a person goes to heaven or goes to hell.
And they which see may be made blind. 40.
There is no one so blind as a spiritually blind person. We have a world full. We have all kind of medical things that help people get eyes and eye implants. But most of the world is totally blind. I almost never meet anyone who has spiritual vision. Almost everyone is blind. Because if you don't know the mystery, the sacred secret, you just haven't gotten there yet. You can be saved, but there is a vision so much more than 20/20 physical vision. My greatest joy is to find someone whose spiritual eyes are open and commune with them.
The Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also?
See, they don't even realize Jesus is speaking spiritually, that he's talking about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. All they can see is the physical. You're in such trouble when all that you think is real is your dog, your cat, your car, your job, your clothes, your pot, your whatever. There is a whole world going on, a heavenly realm that is overwhelmingly beautiful.
41, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say you see, wherefore your sins remain.
The Bible tells us, to whom much is given, much is required. And to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. These people did know enough of the Bible to know that they should not have excommunicated this man. So when you see something that needs to be done and you've got it in your hand, withhold it not. To him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, everybody likes to say, he did that and she did that. The greatest sins committed by God's children, the church, are those things you do not see and you need to get up and do it.
Chapter 10, verse 1.
We'll call this the door.
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
of a truth, of a truth,
he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
All right. Now, we as Christians are called sheep. Now, right here in this place, those of you in cyberspace, we're in my school here, this holy place, we have a place here. And people, the door is opened, whosoever will may come in. And we expect that everyone coming to our assembly will walk in the door and will be transparent because they are not trying to sneak in. But what if there were a back window back there with a screen on it and someone was ripping the screen off and trying to get through the window and come in? That would be a thief. Now, in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, Lucifer said, I'm going to come in another way. And he's called himself God, and he's tried to upstage God and be God. We're now in the fifth trump. Revelation has seven trumps and their actions. The fifth trump is a time of learning. That's why God's got me talking to you. And it's about to end. At the sixth trump, the Antichrist will come. He's a thief and a robber. He's coming to steal the name of Jesus. He's calling himself Christ. And he's going to call himself God's Savior, Theosata. And he's coming to steal. But if the true shepherd were to come, you would come in the door. You would not be sneaking in. Also, Jesus himself would not come in for a sneak snatch away. The thief would do that.
That's true, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
Yeah, that would be Jesus.
To him the porter openeth.
Now the porter would be the watchman on the wall. Those men and women God has appointed to watch over the sheep. You could be a teacher, you could be a layman, a clergyman. In other words, you're watching over the sheep who are in the sheep coat. You're in the sheep coat, and the watchman, the porter, is watching over you, watching on the wall because you don't want a thief to come in. But when you see the good shepherd, you can open the door to him.
And the sheep hear his voice.
Now, the sheep hear his voice. The thing about a baby is it knows its mother's voice. It may just be saying goo 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 goo, and the mother just say goo 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 back. But they've got this communication going. But if you put that baby to someone else and there's a different language, the baby will not understand that. And so you see, God's very elect know the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, you do not fight it. You know with all that you are that it is the truth.
And he calleth his own sheep by name.
Okay. In the world that then was, when Satan rebelled, Lucifer, we were all in our spiritual bodies, because Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, when you die, you kick the bucket, the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, one-third, Revelation 12, of God's children in the spirit body followed Satan. Now, everybody's names at that time had been written in God's Lamb's Book of Life. We were, shall we say, spiritually married to God. Now, when that third betrayed God, their names were deleted. Their names are not there anymore. There was another third that sat and watched the show. They were the worst of all, lukewarm. That makes God sick to his stomach. Since they didn't get in the fight thinking about themselves, most selfish are lukewarmers, he took their names out. But there was one third, Romans 8, whom he foreknew he did predestinate, knew before, he kept their names in there, and they are called his very elect, the Zadok, and God knows their name, and he's got their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he sends out that elect in every generation, and they're called the remnant and the very Zadok, and right here at the end, the very elect. So he knows your name, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, a little preview. In the book of Isaiah, God says that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, God's going to give us a new name. It's going to be called Hephzibah, and our land shall be Beulah. Beulah means we'll be married, and Hephzibah will mean I delight in her. So if you're an elect, God knows your name because your name's in his book, and he checks the book. Okay? Now, I was very blessed as a child to have Abraham and Sarah for my aunt and uncle. Uncle Walker Collins and Aunt Zelma Collins, they loved me. They weren't a little blonde-headed, blue-eyed girl like me, so I stayed with them half the time. They loved Jesus. Jesus lived in their house. I'd go from room to room, and Jesus was there. He was just there. We talked to him. He was at the table. I would go to a flower garden, and Jesus was there. My Uncle Walker was as rich as Abraham. Wherever you would go, he had land. Land, 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 land. But he also had cattle. And in the evening time, when it was time to bring the cattle in from pasture, my Uncle Walker would call every one of those cows and bulls by name. Hey, Effie, welcome home. Hey, Lizzie. Hey, Bessie. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Samuel. Hey, Daniel. He knew them. To me, it just looked like a cow. But God knows your name.
And leadeth them out.
And leadeth them out. Okay. That remnant that did not betray him, at an appointed time in every generation, he hugged you and embraced you. And he said, I need you to go out into the second earth age because everybody else down there is lost. They betrayed. They need to know Jesus. And I'm sending you out in every generation. I'm leading you out. And I want you to be the oracles of light, to bring forth the truth, to send out the light and the truth for these people. So that's why the elect are here. Everybody else is here. Free choice to choose Jesus or the devil, your second chance. But the elect, those sheep known by his name.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, who goeth before them, and the sheep follow him.
Now, you never have to beg an elect to come to Bible study. I learned this. All pastors and preachers and leaders and teachers say, why did you not come to church? You need to come back. I learned a long time ago, they went out from us because they are not of us. In other words, an elect hears the truth. And if you're looking for it, God's going to put somebody in your path. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And when the disciple is ready, the apostle appears. And so he puts somebody before your path. If you're an elect, you recognize it, and nobody has to beg you. You can't wait to get there because you're going to hear your Father's voice. And you will not go and hear the pablum and the babble. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But you would not waste your time on that because you have a purpose and you have a destiny.
Beside, and a stranger, they will not follow.
In the book of Proverbs, the Hebrew word there, zur, Z-U-R, it means stranger. That would mean a strange shepherd. See, at the sixth trump, the stranger is coming and saying he's Christ. All the world will go after him because they're not the elect. Half the body of Christ will go after him. Only the elect will not follow his voice. We know Zer when we hear Zer, Z-U-R, stranger, lie, antichrist.
But we'll flee from him.
Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not, don't go there, flee from him. We do not run into his arms as the world will. We stand back.
For they know not the voice of the stranger. Six, this parable spake Jesus unto them. But they understood not what things he spake unto them.
They cannot understand that. Natural man cannot understand spiritual things until his spiritual ears and eyes are open.
Seven, then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door.
All right, Jesus stops saying a parable. He says, I am the door. Now, most of our doors have at least two locks. Right? Because we live in an evil world. Now you Christian, you have Jesus and you have a double lock. And what you can do when the enemy comes after you like a flood, when the demons come, when the frustration comes, when the noise comes, when the frustration, the aggravation comes, lock number one, the name of Jesus. Lock number two, the word of Jesus. Jesus taught us that in Matthew 4:4. It is written, and then he quoted the scripture. See, most of you, please get this. Stop saying your words when you're in trouble. Stop saying you're troubled. Say in Jesus' name and say the Bible. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, it is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment be condemned. In Jesus' name, I have power over all the power of the enemy, over devils and demons. The sword of God, double lock. Now, you've got a double lock. What else does a door do? A mad dog could be chasing you down the streets and your house is close by. You run into the door, you slam that door, and boy, the mad dog can't get you, right? You slammed the door right in his face. Jesus is an advocate between you and the Father, but Jesus is also, Christian, an advocate between you and the devil and all the demons of hell. In the book of Psalms, David often says, the Lord is my shield. Most of the time in the Hebrew, shield means like a cylinder, the shield of faith. It actually, a cylinder comes down. I have been ministering, laying hands on people, and I would spiritually see a cylinder come down when I prayed for their protection. In other words, you can slam the door on anything coming against you, any nervousness, any anxiety, any frustration, any devil, any demon, anything that comes against you, you slam the door because Jesus is your advocate. He is your advocate, and he slams the door. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, all right, in a door, to open it, we've got a key, right? Jesus is a door. Jesus is the key of David. That means that Jesus came through the lineage of the tribe of David. David is the stem of Jesse. And that key of David, the Lord Jesus says, I open the door and no man shuts it. I shut the door and no man opens it. For 8 years, I have held a prayer service here every Wednesday night to pray for the United States of America, that God would bring a true seed of Abraham to be our president, and that our country would come back to God. We've just seen an election. All the gates of hell came against President Donald Trump. All of the media, all of the elite Democrats, all of the elite class there of the Republicans, everything came upon him, lies, and kept knocking him and knocking. We kept praying and praying. They did everything they could to shut the door. Even on election night, they were trying to say, forget it, he's already lost. And the truth, he was winning. God opened that door to Donald Trump because I birthed him 8 years ago. I knew it was his name. I knew it was the seed of Abraham. And whatever I could grab anyone here on Wednesday night, we've been praying it. And so God opened that door and no man can shut it. But we also ask God to shut the door to the progressive, socialistic, abortion kind of people who hate us and want to put us in bondage. And he shut the door to Hillary Clinton. When God opens the door, nobody can shut it. Boy, do they try. You ought to know what I've gone through. But listen, I'm still free. I'm still going in and out and finding pasture. Praise ye the Lord.
Sheep, verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers.
Now, he doesn't mean those people who came before he came in the flesh. The word before, he means anyone who comes before Jesus as the second return of Jesus. Anyone who comes before is a thief and a robber. Once again, we're in the fifth trump. It's about to end. The signs are there, the Bible says. The sixth trump will sound, and that's the one coming before Jesus. That's the Antichrist. That's the man of sin. That's Abaddon. That's Apollo. That's the son of perdition. That's Lucifer. That's Satan. That's the devil. That's the serpent. That's the devil with his Jesus costume on. And God says he's a thief and a robber. Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. But you wait for the door, the seventh trump. Now, you know, we've learned a lot about the door tonight. Jesus is standing at your door. Those of you who are lost, those of you who are saved, you elect. And he says, knock, knock, knock. And he says, if you will open the door, I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me. Open your heart's door. Let him in the full measure of all of the love of a living God. Praise the Lord. We'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome Scott Merson, anointed man of God, my twin friend. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good. That was a great word tonight, Sherry. Awesome.
Thank you. The door is good, isn't it?
It is. It is. I have our first question. Why did the woman with the alabaster box pour out all the perfume onto Jesus' feet?
Okay. The woman with the alabaster box had saved with all of her allowance perfumes and spices for her wedding. That was the custom of the time. So first of all, she anointed Jesus' feet for his burial. But before there can be the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus had to die and the body buried. Ultimately, she was anointing him for the wedding. In other words, she was willing to give up the physical wedding for the greater wedding, the wedding of the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen. Okay. And I know as we push into that time where we will be at the wedding, that mm-hmm. we're to give off that fragrance too.
Absolutely,
Lord.
Because she would be soaking in that and she would smell good for
like,
her bridegroom.
Like cinnamon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you want to smell good for Jesus, our marriage bridegroom.
Amen. Okay, our next question. What was the blast that God sent to Rabshakeh?
Rabshakeh was the chief general of Sennacherib, who was the Assyrian who was trying to capture, good King Hezekiah. Good King Hezekiah, king of Judah, was surrounded. So Rabshakeh was coming to capture, and he had all of his army. So God sent a blast, which is a delusion. He made Rabshakeh think that he had the victory because Hezekiah was like a bird in a gilded cage. But God sent a death angel, and the death angel destroyed 180,000 of Rabshakeh's army, and the rest of them ran away. Now, God knows how to send a blast when the enemy is coming, doesn't he,
Scott? He does. And we prayed that blast of of illusion upon some of the leaders that
that were trying to take over our country, right?
That's right. Okay, our last question. Will all our positions in heaven be equal?
No, they will not, but there will be no more death, no more pain, no more crying, so I'm sure everybody will be happy. But in the book of Ezekiel, 44 to the end there, 48, he gives us an outline. There's the Temple Mount area there where the Father, Son, Holy Spirit sit on the throne. And in that area, there are chambers for God's very elect, and there's a villa for King David. Now, the elect do not inherit property. They inherit God, but he does give an area right there. In front of that, there would be an area for all 12 tribes of Israel, and then beyond that, all over planet Earth, there would be the places for the kings and queens of the ethnos. Revelation 19 says that our bridal gown, or our gown that we are going to wear, men and women, is woven by the righteousness of saints, Revelation 19. So see, some people never do any work for God. They just get saved, and then they just say, give me. Now, don't be afraid. If you've only got one talent, use that talent to the max. Do the best you can with that, and you'll have your right place. But if you have a lot of talents, to whom much is given, much is required. So yes, there are positions in heaven, but all will be well.
Amen, amen. We just give it through the love of our heart for him.
Yes,
amen.
With love. Wrap it in love. Every time we give, we want to wrap our gift in love. Scott, David has his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel packed his stuff and put it in a suitcase,
Yep. And
I believe it's time now for Scott's stuff. What's your stuff, Scott?
I've got some stuff, and actually it came from out of Ezekiel's stuff tonight. The Lord says, there is a new blooming amongst the people who are like trees, a new fruit being produced and ready to harvest, a new taste and movement among the leaves of the trees. And our reference is Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5, 9 through 10, and 12.
Oh, that is beautiful. Awesome stuff,
that
Scott.
Is awesome stuff.
I love your new segment there, Scott Stuff. We'll have that every week. Right now, I want all of you who are not saved to pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
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 Now in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, so please feel free to call and tell me that you were saved. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there is pain, let the pain be stopped. Where there's something missing in the body, let a new body part be created. Where there is something out of order. Bring perfect alignment in the lights of people's eyes. Let those lights line up in the right place so vision is restored. Let brain stems come be healed. Brain cells, memories be restored. Feet and toes and nerves, diabetes be gone. On backs and spines, allergies, you have no place. We shut the door on you. Cannot come here in Jesus' mighty name. Resurrection life through every cell of the body in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, if you were healed, call and tell me that too. Well, now it's time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. When I was a little girl, I played the piano in a little Baptist church, and I learned a song, and it made it one of my life's mottos. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that as I live for others, I might live for thee. And Father, when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, let me forget the crown I've won while living yet for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that even as I kneel to pray, my prayer might be for others. Now I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. Prayer Warriors, Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And John 17:17 says, Thy word is truth. I love you. Thank you for listening to my program. Wait for my announcer and call me and tell me you appreciate the program. God bless you. And this is Sherry Medlock, blessing you, loving you, in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
regrets that you can't get past yourself. You wish so bad that you can make the mark, but your dreams are stuck on a shelf. And all you wanna do is turn back time and redeem the days you lost. But shame keeps calling out your name, and the chains refuse to fall. And it's not over, it's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide open, arms wide open, to tell you this is not the end. When doubt is strong and your will is weak, to even believe again, that's when believe that you could change the world with a fire deep in your soul. Your faith was strong and the call was clear. I'm sure you can make a new road. Like so many, the flame grew dark and confidence hit the wall. There always seems to be a lot of big questions. The answer seems so small. It's not over, it's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide open, arms wide open, to tell you this is not the end. When doubt is strong and your will is weak, to even believe again, that's when grace walks in. It's not over, it's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide open, to tell you this is not the end. When doubt is strong and your will is weak, to even believe again, that's when create my life and take me through. Shine upon the road that leads to you. I know you'd heard the words I'd say before I'd even lived one day.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
I
And I know that I can find you here, 'cause you promised me you'll always be there. In times like these, it's hard to see, but somehow I have a peace you're near. And I pray that you will use my life in whatever way your name is glorified. Even if surrendering means leaving everything behind, and my life has never been this clear. And now I know the reason why I'm here. You never know why you're alive until you know what you would die for. I would die for you. And I know I don't have much to give, but I promise you I'll give you all there is. Can I possibly do less when through your own death I live? My life has never been this clear. Until you know what you would die for, I would die for you. show you.